The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1, and can be found on 1061 of the Church Bibles. Jesus has risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, turning over to John's Gospel. Chapter 20, beginning at verse 11, which can be found on 1089 of the Church Bibles. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken the Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Every year I get more excited about Easter. I'm not quite sure whether that's because I'm looking forward to getting to heaven or not, but still. It's so wonderful, this celebration. The more I look at it, the more I think I understand it, or as much as God will give me. But it's so exciting. And it's great to be with you to celebrate it. You know, it really is, I tell you. It's so good. Janet was definitely coming. She said, "You've got to get me here on a stretcher if necessary," she said. So it's really good that she's not on a stretcher yet. And that's good. But around the world, you see, we are joining voices from around the world. Jan and I have known fellowships in other parts of the world, and those voices are up singing now as we are. It's wonderful. I don't know how many of you have done this, but some people actually brave the sunrise and go out to the country on a hillside somewhere, and they celebrate, they see the day coming up, and they celebrate Easter. Have you done that? No. I don't blame you. The weather's not that good, is it? But you know, for some, it's the most amazing thing. Jan and I, when we were in Chiang Mai in Thailand, We gathered with Christians across Chiang Mai at in the city on the side of the river, which runs right the way through the city. And we began singing as the sun rose up. We began singing that Jesus was alive. And we sang across this city, which is largely Buddhist and Spiritist. And we sang the truth of God's love and his risen kingship over them. And it was just magic. I needed to go to sleep again pretty soon after, because it was also very tiring to get up that early. But never mind. Okay, it's great. And after the darkness of Good Friday comes the bright light of the Resurrection Sunday. Isn't it wonderful? Now, I was reading this morning the reading that I had chosen, which was the Luke's reading of the resurrection story. And I came to the end of it and I thought, oh, come on, John. What more than that? Because Luke doesn't talk about Jesus being discovered in the garden. And I said to Jane before the service, look, could we do some more? Just go on to John's gospel. Because the fullness of that realization of who Jesus is, not the gardener, but the risen Christ, is so important for us today. It's so important that we know the Savior. Not just talk about him, but we know him. And it was so important for Mary in the garden that she knew him. And so we had both readings. So thank you, Jane, for changing at the last minute. But yeah. In Good Friday, Luke's gospel describes, as Mark's gospel does, these women folk at a distance, watchful and waiting. They witnessed the ghastly, ghastly sin of the world crucifying the innocent man. And now, these women who've been held back from doing anything, what could they do except watch and wait? They'd been held back until the latter part of the evening, and they'd followed Joseph to where he'd laid the body of Jesus in the tomb. And now, at the crack of dawn on Sunday, they were going back to where they'd seen Joseph had laid Jesus. And Mark records an interesting conversation with them as they went, well, who's going to move the blooming rock? I mean, how can we deal with that? And you can imagine them saying that to each other. And as they get there, crumbs, the rock's moved, it's gone. Who's done that? And then, of course, much worse for them, because they go into the tomb and there's no body. Now, today is important for the empty tomb, but it's also important for the empty cross. Christ is risen from the dead. He's paid the price on the cross, and the tomb is empty. He's paid the price for our risen, resurrected lives too. The miracle of God's grace. And these lovely, faithful women, and thank God for them, okay, because the men were gone. Excuse me. Nah, yes, okay, we shouldn't be sexist about it, should we, John? But just to know that we men do understand that, and we do hold you precious, women, I promise. But there's the women looking, and they must have been absolute, you know, the best thing was that they were going to fulfill what they believed was they could do for Jesus, which was to give him the proper rites of burial. Of course they were. And they get there, and they can't even do that because there's no body. The shock and the distress must have been huge. And the shock was a bit more so when they saw two angels. Anybody seen an angel here? Okay, interesting. Anyway, two angels there, or we're told two, beside them. I like that. These two angels. And they say this wonderful thing. And I want you to take away this, because to me, it hit me again and again. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That's a full statement. Why do we look for the living among the dead. He is not here. He is risen. And then the angels say, don't you remember what you were told? And they suddenly thought, that's right, he did tell us that. We didn't understand it at the time. How many times have you read the Bible and something just hit you, like, boop, you know? It's sort of like the penny drops, ding. I've been reading that for years, Lord, and I've never seen that before. But it was important that then they remembered what Jesus had said. And then the revelation hit them, the realization. And then comes the men's contribution. Well done, men, because the women go faithfully off to report directly to the men, as one would in those cultural times. And the men considered that the words they were saying were complete nonsense. I mean, people just don't rise from the dead. It isn't happening. It doesn't happen here. If you've got it here, you must go somewhere else because you're clearly not very balanced. That's the sort of attitude they gave you, you know? And sometimes as Christians, that's the attitude the world gives us, doesn't it? Jesus is alive! Oh, come on, guy. Where? In me. That's where to start with. Oh, yeah, well, you're not much of a witness, are you, mate? I know you, John. And anybody who knows me will know I'm not much of a witness. But I know one who is. I do my best, but my best is never going to be enough. But I know that Christ is alive, and I'll go on telling people as long as I have breath to tell. Because that's true. Peter and John at least did go and have a look. And Mary, who wandered tearfully around the garden, saw a gardener, which is appropriate. A resurrected Christ was not appropriate. Nobody had ever seen that before, but a gardener in a garden? Well, of course you would have a gardener in a garden. And then she saw, well, then Jesus spoke, didn't he? Can you imagine being Mary when Jesus turns to you? You're in an absolute mess, okay? Everything has gone wrong. The whole of your life has just emptied. And you're looking for Christ. Where is his body? Because you just want to complete what you felt was your duty, the least you could do. And then Jesus speaks the word, Mary. Imagine him speaking your name to you right now. Right now, Jesus speaks your name. The risen Christ is alive. And Mary found out and rushed off to tell the others, of course, as she did. Now, you know something? I find, maybe you don't, but I find scripture really difficult. Okay. I find it difficult because it's a wonderful book. I love it. I think some of it is literally beautiful. I love the subject of God. And this book, which is a new one, Jan and I bought ourselves new Bibles because we'd had them for 25 years and they were falling apart. Look at this, isn't it beautiful? It is. But you know what? The trouble with this book is that it's not designed just to be beautiful, to be attractive. It's designed to apply to my life. It's designed to change me, to transform me. And that makes it difficult. It makes it challenging. When I don't want to be challenged. It makes it reflecting like a mirror of my life, and I don't like what I see. So when we look at something like the resurrection of Christ, it's easy to go through the story and say, what a fantastic story. Marvelous. Wonderful. But what does it really mean? When we go outside of this room, and go to tell our neighbor that Jesus is alive. What does it mean? But it's an important start of a conversation, okay? Because you see, our God is alive. He's the one true and living God. And I know you know that, and I know most of you will attest to that. Praise God. But you know, if you ask your friend the Buddhist, where is Buddha? If you ask your friend the Hindu where all his gods are, if you ask your Muslim friend where the Prophet Muhammad is, they cannot and cannot say they are alive, because they are not. Because only Christ and God is alive in Christ today. Our faith in Christ is unique in the sense that he is totally unique. There is no other God who is living today. There is no other God who paid the price for sin on a cross as an innocent. There is no other God who 3 days later arose from the dead. There is no other God who predicted that before anything happened and then fulfilled it. There is no other God like that. Our God is alive and living today, and living, as somebody prayed, in us too. And we know where our God is because he's told us. Because having been resurrected, Jesus then later ascended into heaven. And he is seated at the right hand of God as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world. Now, what does this mean? I tell you what it means. It means that the promises of God in this wonderful book that I love so much are true. Do you know there are over 350 prophecies about Jesus and what he would be coming to do that have been fulfilled already in this Bible? And there are many more, not many more, but there are certainly more in terms of what is going to happen next that are in this Bible. And just as we believe that Christ is living, so we believe this word is living and true, and the promises in it are true. We can hold fast to these promises. And Jesus' resurrection and his ascension are the proof, the seal of authority, the hallmark of genuineness for this word. And it is the hope of all of us Christians. That's the hope. Christian hope. You know, not the, I hope Ipswich will go up this season. No chance. But the hope that we know is not dependent on us, but dependent on him. And he's risen. He's defeated sin. He's defeated death. There is nothing else that he needs to defeat, except apparently, and forgive me, this may have been I've come under the 1st of April, but somebody suggesting that actually they're going to do away, well, no, they're going to add to pastoral care a robot who will come and deliver a sermon and pastorally care for you. How about that? I think it's probably a joke, but don't worry. I hope it's a joke. Mind you, Jan and I are retired, so perhaps it won't affect us anyway. Fortunately, you're getting a real pastor. He's coming. Okay. But you know what? As we celebrate Easter, we celebrate that empty cross. It worries me sometimes when I see people with crucifixes. It's only half the story, for goodness sakes. Don't stop there. It's an empty cross. It's an empty tomb. But they're not empty gestures. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no one who will come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the only way, despite what the world wants to tell us, despite how the world wants to shut us up. We hear about the resurrection because it's a fantastic story. But like any other story, we can put it down. No, we can't, because this living word won't allow it. Jesus, you see, is the only God who came from heaven. And he came from heaven for us. He is the only God who has gone back to heaven. And he went back to heaven to pray for us. And he's the only God who's going to come again and deal with this sad, needy world and bring about the new heaven and the new earth that you and I are looking forward to. Only our God has a plan. Only our God can fulfill that plan. And it's here in this book for us to see. I could go on, but I won't. Because we've got some celebration to do outside, haven't we? Like big fat turkeys or chickens or something like that. And we're going to break our fast and have some wine as well. But I thought I'd just go back to that statement of the angels. Do not look for the living among the dead. We are privileged, brothers and sisters, to know the living. But there are many, many, many who are looking for the living among the dead, and they need us to go and tell them, to explain to them, to help them to see. They need us to share our faith. Even when we get put down over it, well, goodness me, we haven't been crucified yet, and until we're crucified, we can't say, we can't excuse ourselves. Do not look for the living among the dead. I'm going to finish now with a wonderful story, at least it's wonderful to me. In 1930, a communist leader called Bukharin traveled from Moscow to Kiev. Moscow, the place of fake news, eh? We have no fake news here. We have good news of Jesus. Anyway, this man traveled from Moscow to Kiev to address a large rally about atheism. He was a communist, after all. 1 hour after vitriolic torrent designed to humiliate and destroy any faith in God left the crowd in absolute silence. And suddenly barked out, "Any questions?" And a little old man asked to speak. Came up through the crowd, up onto the platform, stood by the microphone. And he looked left, and he looked right. And then he said, "Christ is risen!" And the whole crowd boomed back, "He is risen indeed!" That's the answer, isn't it? No atheism, no non-ism, no anti-ism, no ism can stand against the fact that Christ is risen. Historically it's proven, actually it's proven, and we are the proof of it too. Be encouraged. Go out and share this brilliant truth that others might come and join us. And next Easter, this place will be packed to the gunwales with all those people who've come as a result of your express life that Christ has given you to share with others.